Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. And in the first verses of Isaiah 6, the word says that Isaiah had come in to the temple and to the place of worship. And he had a vision. And in that vision, the word tells us that he records, I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, high and lifted up in his throne room on high. I saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up, high and lifted up in his throne room on high. And there were angels gathered all around, seraphim with wings on every side. And they were crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He goes on to, the word goes on to say that Isaiah found himself in a position, in a place of thinking in terms of his own understanding. He began to praise himself. And he cried, woe is me, a man of unclean lips, that I should be here to see the Lord on high. And the angel took a burning coal from the altar and touched his lips. And it changed everything. The pitcher is a pitcher. It describes one of the requirements of the offerings the old time during the dispensation of the law. And it was symbolic and referenced what was going to take place when Jesus would come, the Messiah, and open the way for the Holy Spirit to come in to each and every one of us, whomsoever will. Isaiah was touched by God in that service. He saw God. And his eyes were open. And because of the message of grace and the touch of the coal representing grace, the grace of God, he was able to understand that not by his own works or ability could he go forward, but now he could go forward having been touched of God. I'd like you to think for a few moments with me and let the Holy Spirit work with your imagination. Perhaps you can reflect on, have had similar experience like Isaiah. Or perhaps you've been faithful in seeking God and you'd like to have a similar experience. I ask this question, reflection on what has been taught well from the pulpit here. What was your expectation as you came in here tonight? Did you have an expectation? Do you have an expectation? Is your expectation growing? What if suddenly the background of where I'm standing began to become illuminated and brighten, And suddenly I become out of focus. And all you can see is the Shekinah or Shekinah glory of God. What if suddenly the presence of God began to manifest in such a powerful way that your response would be to fall prostrate before God, pushing the chairs aside so that you could get on your knees and get on your face because you realize that God is here. In Exodus chapter 3, this afternoon, we pulled from that passage. And Moses, as he approached God at the burning bush, God spoke to him and says, "Moses, Moses, take off the shoes from your feet, for the place that you stand is holy ground." My brothers and sisters, and those that are listening by whatever form of social media, this is holy ground. We are holy ground and we are amidst of holy people. Individuals that have been sanctified by the work of the Spirit, by the grace and the mercy of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes to the Corinthians, "To not know Jesus and each other after the flesh." It says there that there was, before this point, you may have known, and you, we all knew Jesus in our past as the Jesus that's preached by those that preach the gospel and go to church. Many of us knew of him, but we didn't know him. And when we heard the gospel and responded to the gospel, a work was done that changed our revelation and understanding and perspective. And for those that are born again, as I trust everyone here is, I can't see who's here actually. But after meeting Jesus and being reborn of the Spirit, everything changes. And we are not, though we have known him after the flesh, now, and the exhortation is now, we're not to know him the way that we knew him before. Because now we know him. Now we know him not as a religious leader or the head of a ministry, but we know him for who he is, and that he is the living God. And he is Almighty God, whom, and he is the creator, and through him all things were created in John 1:1 by Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God manifest in the flesh. And we need to recognize not only within ourselves what God has done to us, but recognize who our brothers and sisters are that are sitting next to us. Because they are new creations in Christ. And they are, and we are, believer priests in an order called the Order of the Melchizedek Priesthood, of whom Jesus Christ is our high priest. And so even though, maybe even in a situation where you have a husband and a wife that have known each other and they've recently, in recent years, have come to know Christ, they knew each other after and still know each other after who they used to be, but now they're to know each other no more as to who they are in a natural man or woman. And we're not to know our brothers and sisters in the natural man or woman of who they are. But rather, we're to look to the Word and let the Word instruct us and let the Word define who they are and who they are in Christ. And we are not to be familiar with them. We are not to grow familiar with who they are because we know all of them. but rather focus on who they are now in Christ and focus on what is their potential in Christ and in their understanding. Because they are sanctified by the Spirit. They are born again of the Spirit. They are children of God. And as I speak of them, I'm speaking, and you should be speaking to yourself and appropriating it that way. And when we gather together, the word says in Hebrews 11, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and all the more as the day of his approach approaches. But when we assemble, we are saints. We are children of God. We have been sanctified by the power of his Spirit and the washing of the waters of the living waters of life. And we are a new creation, going back to 2 Corinthians 5. If any man be in Christ, he is a new, behold, he is a new creation. The older order of things have passed away. Isaiah, who he was, remember, Isaiah was serving God at the point that he walked in and had his vision and his experience and being in the presence of God. But now everything's changing. Everything is changed and will be changed and has changed for us forever. We are now pilgrims in a strange world. We are aliens in the truest sense of aliens. Because we're now the kingdom of God and we're no longer of this world. Experientially, yes, but not positionally. Not in who we are in Christ. We are God's children, God's ambassador. The order of things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in 2 Corinthians 5, 20-22. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and the work that Christ Jesus has done when he went to the cross. There's a song with a chorus, and the lyrics of that chorus, I just start to pull a blip from it. When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. My sister saw a picture that was hand-drawn. We used to have one here that Meg Mitchell drew once years ago and hung in the chapel. I don't know if it's still here or not. But it's a portrait of Jesus Christ. And everything on that portrait, as you look at it, at first glimpse you see Jesus, but when you look just a little bit closer in the second glimpse, all you see is faces. 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 Of people, children, adults, humans. They represent the faces, the souls that were on the mind of Christ when Christ went to the cross. You or I were in those faces. Our faces were painted and etched on the soul of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, it was for us, the joy that was before him, that Jesus willingly went to the cross, despising the shame, allowing himself freely, willingly, offering himself as a living sacrifice for you and I, being the fruits, the spoils of his victory. When he was on the cross, you were on his mind. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Do you realize who you are? Do you realize that God is speaking right now? And he's speaking to you? He's calling out to you? Through his Spirit, he's ministering the message that he loves you. And he wants to meet you not only in your own personal walk, but especially when you come here and gather. I believe the emphasis of the Spirit in these moments are again to cultivate an expectation of what may happen and take place when we do gather. Constantly we should be in prayer and seeking God and asking God to visit us, to speak to us, to move in our midst. One of the things that I've been praying for recently that I've experienced in the past, and it's happened here in this church, is to enter into worship and to hear the angels worshiping with us. Would you like to hear that? Really? I'm serious. Not just once, but the body would grow in faith and expectation to when we gather in service, that the anointing would fall on the worship leaders, and that the angels, as we are glorifying God and giving him honor and praise and all the glory with the offer of sacrifice of our lips, that the angels join in and the angels sing, and we can hear the angels singing with us. That's the way it's going to be. In Revelations, we see that. Several times a picture is drawn of all the saints in their robes and their glorified bodies, along with the angels, singing to the Lord, just like Isaiah saw. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, high and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And to have God visit us. And he is. He's visiting us now. He is faithful. He is here. The place where we are is holy ground. We should be taking off our shoes together and worshiping God, physically and spiritually. Because he is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy. Praise be to God. I will bless his name again. If you know it, sing with me. He is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. When Jesus, after being tested, walked into the temple and picked up the scroll and read from Isaiah 61, I believe it is, or 66, 61, 6, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God Almighty has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to give sight back to the blind, to set free those that are in captivity, and to set at liberty those that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Where we were praying in the earlier portion of the service, and you were praying before God, it's not presumptuous to think that there's some burdens that are represented here that God wants to heal. Burdens that represent a bruised soul. Burdens that represent captivity and chains of bondage to wrong decisions and the plan of the enemy working in your life in the past that you're still carrying, even though you're born of the Spirit today. God wants to touch and heal those wounds. He wants to touch and He wants to release and break those chains. He wants to touch and He wants to set you free from whatever holds you captive, whatever promotes fear and projects fear, whatever incapacitates you from going forward and believing God for whatever it is that you need. Jesus was anointed, and we in turn, I've been studying this, we in turn are under that same anointing because we now have Christ within us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Christ in us knows us better than we know ourselves. Pastor Scott brought out Sunday morning a beautiful, if you weren't here to get a hold of that message, it was a pristine Hallmark message about the work of the Holy Spirit and revival and reviving our hearts if we need to be revived. But he spoke of God removing the stone, the heart of stone, replacing it with a circumcised heart of flesh. Many other things were touched in that message. It was God speaking through him to the body of Christ, just as God is speaking right now to us. God wants to work to bring that healing, bring that deliverance. He wants to apply Jesus, who is symbolized in the burning coal on the altar, and touch us with a spirit of fire and cleanse us, purge us, and heal us and set us free from that which holds us down and holds us back, holds us in condemnation. There's a passage of Scripture, I can't think of the chapter and verse right now, but it's New Testament, and it says that the letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit breeds or brings life. We are under the dispensation of grace of God, charis in the Greek, the unmerited, unearned favor and love of God that's been shed abroad in many forms to all of human race, but especially in the elements of grace that save us and set us free. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. God is amazing. God is amazing, and this is holy ground. This is holy ground. Joshua, two places, Moses at the burning bush and Joshua as he was going forth and met the captain of the Lord of hosts, believed to be the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Take off your shoes, for the place in which you stand is holy ground. This chapel, the place that we're meeting, our sanctuary, is holy ground. But the truest understanding of what makes that holy ground is you and I, brothers and sisters, and who we are in Christ. I think I'm going to close with this, but if you know it, you can sing along. I'm going to sing in Moonbite anyway tonight by the Spirit of God. Bear with me, all right? We sang it this afternoon in the Wednesday study. I want to sing it now, and I want you to just think about it with me. I'm going to lead us. This is holy ground. If you know it, sing along with me. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is here, and where He is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is here, and where He is holy. Now I want you to put your Bibles down for a moment. And I want you to hold up your hands out in front of you. If you want to stand, you can stand with me. The 1 Timothy 2:8. These are holy hands in the Word of God. Paul instructed Timothy to instruct all men everywhere and anywhere to lift up these holy hands and praise God. Now, as you look at these hands that are stretched out before you, they're your hands. But God says by His work and the power of His Spirit and sanctification through the Spirit, they are holy hands. And we are believer priests raising holy hands to honor and praise our God. Sing with me. These are holy hands. We're lifting up holy hands. For the Lord is here, and where He is holy. These are holy hands. We're lifting up holy hands. For the Lord is here, and where is He? It's holy. We are standing on holy ground. I gotta come down. And I know that there are angels all around. So let us praise Jesus now, 'cause we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Father, we bow before You. We lift our hands. We praise You. We thank You for this time together. I ask now through Your Holy Spirit and Jesus, as we're taught, Jesus is walking amongst us. You know the needs. You know the requests. You know the unspoken burdens. You know the chains that hold in bondage. You know the bruised hearts that are here that need to be touched with the healing arms of Gilead, the balms, the oil of Gilead. Father, touch and pour out Your Spirit to do a healing and a release. Quietly in Your Spirit, ask God to touch you if you're one of the ones that I'm thinking of now. And ask Him to touch you and heal you in whatever form it is that's in your heart at this time. And as you're praying that, Father, I pray for whoever may be here, whoever may be listened to this message that has not yet been healed of who they are in Adam and needs You, needs to be born again of the Spirit, needs to receive the revelation of what You have done for them and who You want to make them to be. I pray that they would pray, Dear Jesus, I see You high and lifted up. And I pray, touch my lips with Your coal, Your burning coal of Your Spirit, and appropriate the blood that You shed on Your cross for the sins of all the world, including mine. Appropriate it to my soul. Come into my soul, into my heart, and save me. I want to be born again. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want to know You like Isaiah knew You, and like my brothers and sisters that I've become aware of know You. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, I thank You for the work that You've done here tonight, for the healings that have taken place, and for all that You are doing to set us free into the liberty of Your Spirit. And especially, I pray that You'd use this message to continue the revival of the Spirit in our hearts as a church, and to bring us evermore praying with expectation to see You move in like fashion. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's children said, Amen. Amen. Amen.